Good morning, We Talk Radio. Thank y'all for joining us on this morning. We are ready for an awesome dynamic word. Stay tuned and let's get ready to go. All right, good morning to everybody. I want to thank all of y'all for joining us on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning here in February. And I think somebody told me that tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So let me just go ahead and be correct about that. Happy early Valentine's Day to all of you out there. Hope that you have a wonderful day on tomorrow. But just remember who your first love is. He first loved you. It didn't take a February 14th for him to do that. When he died and shed his blood, he showed you something greater than what Valentine's Day can ever show any of us. It is the greatest love of all. Let's make sure we keep that in full perspective as we go throughout today and out tomorrow as well, and dining and doing all the other things. Remember, he loves you before you could ever love him. So every day is Valentine's Day through the eyes of the Lord. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn of this wonderful, wonderful thing that God created. I call it a thing because it's something. It's beautiful. It's a creation. It's an entity. I just sometimes I can't even put into words what Spirit of Inspiring Love Church is. And I am just so honored and so thankful to be the pastor of this dynamic entity that God has created. And I am so honored to have you all joining us on this morning here, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Soil Church, and OnlineChurch.com, as well as We Talk Radio on the Shine Lord program on this morning. Listen, we've got a lot to talk about on today. We've got a lot to hear from God. I mean, he's got a lot to give us on today. I will not be rushed. I'm going to take my time. I understand that this is Super Bowl Sunday and all of that good stuff. But let me tell you something. There is nothing that any bowl game can do for you that God can do for you. So I want you to just kind of hang on in here with me. Okay, when you listen to this, you have to listen to the fullness of this word. I am going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you on We Talk Radio. I'm going to challenge y'all on Facebook. I'm going to challenge you on YouTube. Listen to the entirety of this word. If you're looking for something that's just clickbait and keep moving on, I'm going to speak that you cannot move past this channel, that you cannot move past this word. Because remember, the word of God, it speaks to us, it lives through us, and it meets us where we are. But it is our job and our responsibility to listen to the word and get the fullness of the meal. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead on and dive into the meat and the potatoes of this word. But before we do that, I just want to do something called with this being February here, you can see the slide that we have up on this morning. It's called our Black History. It's called our Black History Fact. I just want to just spend a little bit of time talking about some of the great and dynamic voices and leaders and moments that we've had in Black history. Okay. So one of the people that I love to talk about is, and a lot of you know this person, Madam C.J. Walker. Okay. The first woman millionaire, the first Black millionaire. I mean, I'm talking about somebody that built an empire here, hair care products and so many things here, right? Just one of the very quotes that she had here. I just want to shine some light on that here just for a moment here. And one of the quotes that she's most known for is, "Don't sit down and wait for the opportunities to come. Get up and make them." She's saying, get up and make them. Don't just sit down and wait on something to be dropped in front of you. Okay. This is not Amazon. Okay. It ain't going to show up to your doorstep, ring the doorbell, then you open the door and grab it. No, you have to make them. And the reason why I love that quote is because this is what God wants for us to do. Okay. He wants us to go to be fruitful and to multiply. He told us that in the book of Genesis, to get out and go out and do something, get out and go out and make something happen. And she's simply reminding us, right? Don't just sit down and wait for the opportunities to come. Get up and make them. Okay. So I just wanted to share that here. Just talking about that. Thank you for showing that on this morning, Madam C.J. Walker, wonderful entrepreneur, wonderful pioneer. And she had to live by that. She couldn't wait on it. She had to live by that. So hopefully that can be inspiring to somebody out there on this morning, somebody looking to start an organization, a business, or whatever that is. Remember, you got to make the most of your opportunities. The opportunities can't make you. You have to make the opportunities. All right. So with that being said, let's get into the word on today. So we've been talking about building the foundation here. We've been talking about that. The concrete has been poured. Okay. The foundation is curing and it's getting ready for the next phase. It's hardening up, right? And so now it's time for us to start supporting what we call the structure. We're going to talk about the structure. Everything that God builds has a structure. This is why he tells us to do things in decency and in order. He's telling us to be structured about what we do. Now, building the structure, what I want us to understand, church, it takes time. Okay? It takes time, and it has to be built right the first time. You get one time to do it right, and it has to be built right the first time. The structure has to be able to stand up against the winds. The structure has to be able to stand up against the storms. The structure, ladies and gentlemen, has to be able to stand up against the rain and cover us from the rain. And keep that word covering in mind, because we're going to talk about that, the significance of covering. But this is all a part of the structure. And the structure has to be built with all of these things in mind. Could there be strong winds? Could there be rain? Could there be storms? And when the structure is built, we have to take all of those things into consideration, and we have to keep those things in mind as we're building the structure. When I think of structure, for instance, I like to kind of go back to some of the storybooks that we used to read as children, and maybe some of us have read it to our children and maybe our nieces and nephews and all of that. But just to kind of understand the perspective here, I want to take this story that we've all read, we've all known, we've all talked about, called The Three Little Pigs. And as you see that slide up on this morning, The Three Little Pigs, it's a story that we've all read, and it's a story about the structure being built right the first time. And so as you see the slide up here on this morning, you see The Three Little Pigs, different variations of this book. I want us to understand that the end goal for all of them was to be able to build a covering for themselves. They needed a house. They needed a place to live and a place to dwell. However, each of these little pigs, they built their houses differently because they all had a different mindset as to how fast they wanted it to be done and the details that they wanted to put into building the structure of their house. For instance, one pig wanted it easy and built his house out of straw. Another pig wanted it somewhat easy, built his house out of sticks. But there was one pig that understood the value of taking his time to do it right the first time. And this one worked all day and took his time to build the house on the rock. He took his time to build the house on the rock. I mean, out of bricks, on the rock, out of bricks, right? Up on this rock, he built his house out of bricks, and he built it right the first time. He even took his time to add some special features in this house, such as a chimney, because he had in mind to build it right the first time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about this morning because one of the main battles that we have in life is the decision. When it comes to making decisions, when it comes to building things, when it comes to taking that next step in life, one of the things that we have, one of the challenges that we have, is the decision to move with speed or to move with time. What decision will you make when it comes to moving forward with time or moving forward with speed? Let's take a look at the first slide that we have up this morning. And what I want us to understand is that the race is not won by the fastest, but is won by the one who endures. See, church, we could rush through this structural phase and build this church out of straw. We can build this church out of sticks. Or we could build this church and not pay attention to the strong winds that are going to come. Not if, but when they come. Or we can stand against the rains if we take our time and build the covering. Or we can stand against the huffing and the puffing of the big bad wolf And we can take our time and build it right the first time. So if we do this and we take our time to build it right with the winds in mind and the storm in mind, it can stand against the attacks of the big bad wolf. Regardless to how hard he huffs, to how loud he puffs, if we take our time to do it right and continue to be led by God, we can stand against the winds of the big bad wolf. And here's what I want us to know. At some point, the wolf is going to pass by. At some point, the wolf is going to smell what's being cooked inside of the house of God. At some point, he's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to see the lives being touched. He's going to see lives being changed. He's going to see people walk with a different walk. He's going to understand that this house is built on rock, but he's going to come to test how strong the structure is. He's going to come to test how much detail we put into the structure. Even though we say these things, even though we know these things, not a matter of if, but when he's going to come to huff and puff and try to blow down the house of God. But what I want us to understand is the church, okay, it's made to build. It should be made to be built to withstand against the huffing and the puffing of the big bad wolf. And it won't be blown down if we don't pay attention in an instance. But God says that without vision, we will perish, right? And we want to make sure that we stay connected to the vision. And I'm going to share the vision of this ministry very soon. Because we do have the vision. We do have the blueprint. And we know everything that we need to, but we will not get caught into the speed and the race and having a straw mindset. We won't have a stick mindset. We're going to take our time and build this thing the right way the first time. So now we have the blueprint in hand. And the blueprint, as I've said before, is the Word of God. Because what I want us to understand here, the Word of God, okay, it has a word for you specifically for what you're going through. The Word of God, it has a word for you specifically for what you're going through because it lives through us, it speaks to us, and it meets us wherever we are. And it's going to penetrate at the time and the speed that it needs you so that you, that it needs to, so that you can be able to align with the Word of God. The framework and the pouring of the foundation, it's set. And what I want us to know is it's ready now to be supported by the structure. The foundation has to support the weight. It has to support the design. It has to support everything else, and it has to support the storm in mind. And so the framework, the foundation, and the structure all have to be in alignment. They all have to be in agreement. Just like the dirt and the seed, they have to come into agreement so that the harvest can be manifested, so that the crop can begin to grow. And this is the same thing that we're doing and the same thing that we must know. So what I want us to understand, because Jesus said it best when he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, will not, even if it tried, it cannot prevail against this rock. And it's time to understand now we're in the next phase of building a structure, and now it is time that we take our time to get it right. Now, there was this guy in the Bible, and you've heard me talk about him, and we're going to spend some time talking about this guy. Because prior to this encounter that he had with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he would have been known as the big bad wolf. The Apostle Paul, at that time, his name was Saul. He had one job. And his job was to huff and to puff and to blow down the houses of God. He wanted to make sure that Christians were persecuted. He wanted to make sure that the gospel did not become proclaimed. He was even right there, and he consented to the stoning of this young deacon by the name of Stephen, who was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Saul had an agenda, and he had an assignment to go out and to huff and to puff and to blow down the houses of God. But again, he had this encounter with Jesus, and I want you to understand, you can have a wolf mindset, but Jesus can turn that around. You can have a wolf agenda, but Jesus can reroute your GPS. You can have a wolf agenda and you might be walking to the right and he will penetrate you to the left. So listen to the Apostle Paul and what happens during this encounter. Who is it, Lord? Jesus said, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who is this, Lord? He knew who it was because his spirit had aligned with who was speaking into his spirit. So therefore he was going to Damascus, but he got rerouted with a different mindset. And it is safe to say that Paul, he took off as a wolf, but he returned as a little pig. So what I want us to understand is regardless to what the wolf may have in mind, it will not pass by the hairs of God's chin. I'm going to say that again for them sitting in the back. The wolf can have all the agenda that it wants to have in its mind, but it will not succeed by the hairs of God's chin. So on this road, when he had this spiritual encounter with Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Now, let me say something here. He knew that Paul had a Saul, as he was the author, and he knew that Saul would turn into Paul because he's the finisher. I'm going to say something to somebody that's listening to this word right now. I don't care about your Saul life because I know the finisher of your faith will turn you into a Paul. Okay. Peter was a guy by the name of Simon. And when he had an encounter with Jesus, he became Peter. I don't care where you start in life. I don't care about the things that you've done in life. I don't care about what you used to do and what they used to know you and what they used to say about you, because Jesus has a way of being the finisher of your faith, and he will turn your Saul into a Paul. Somebody need to just give God a praise break on that right now, because we have all had a Saul moment in our life and we got transferred to a Paul. We all had a big bad wolf mindset and he had to turn us into the little pig. Okay, so it doesn't matter about what you used to do. It doesn't matter about who you used to be. It doesn't matter about the lifestyle that you used to have, because Jesus is the one that can turn you from a wolf to a pig. Jesus is the one that can make you a fisher of men. Jesus is the one that can be the ultimate transformer, okay, that will get you back in position, that will turn your life around, that will pick you up, and he will place you into the position that you need to be in your life, because there is nothing too hard for the God that I serve. Amen and amen. Now let's move on here as we're talking about this here. Okay, Jesus, okay, the Lord used the gifts of the Apostle Paul. Okay, he used those gifts, the legislation mindset, okay, because Paul created legislation. He created legislation to tear down the churches, and he was the attorney of all attorneys, okay? He would be like the attorney general of the United States. And so Jesus took those gifts and talents and said, I am now going to make him a fisher of men. So I'm going to take these gifts, I'm going to take these talents, and I'm going to use that for the benefit of building, here's that word, the structure of the church. Okay, and the structure that was built has lasted more than 2,000 years. Now, we're going to spend some time talking about the structure, teaching on the structure of the church, and understand the purpose and the plan of the church. The church wasn't built just to be a church. I'm going to say something here. The church wasn't built just to hold concerts. Yeah, that's going to rub somebody the wrong way. The church wasn't built just to be able to have chicken dinners and to be able to have all these things. And I get all of that here. But there is something that the church is supposed to be used for. There's this thing called, let me guess here, it's called the gospel that has to be proclaimed. There's this thing called the gospel that's called the Great Commission. There's this thing called the storehouse that's supposed to be used to be able to add salt to this world, to be able to sprinkle some salt into the dirt of this world. And the church is a place where we come together to get our assignment to go forth and make disciples of all men. We have gotten it wrong, ladies and gentlemen, about what the church is supposed to be. We have gotten it wrong because things have become so monetary and so fixated on finances. Yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm bothering spirits right now, because what I want us to understand is God is doing a new thing in this season, and we're going to go back to the basics and use the church what it's supposed to be used for. The enemy had a way to kind of sneak in and kind of convert and divert and pervert some things. But I'm here to tell you on today that God is saying, no more, not today. See, he had COVID for a reason, because he needed us to come back in and he needed us to regroup. Yeah, I'm on fire this morning. Tell that to the folks on the back. This is going to be hot. Okay, he needed us to come back and regroup and see things from a different lens. He needed us to get out of the rat race and going from conference to conference and doing all these other things and kind of just, if Jesus were to come back back and look at the church today, we would have to teach Jesus what church is. Jesus, you don't sit. This is my seat on the front seat. Jesus, you can't come in this way. Or you got to wear this color. You got to do all these things. We got to get back and regroup and understand the pureness of what the church is all about. We have to understand that the church is about making fishers of men. The church is about the Great Commission. The church is about proclaiming the gospel. The church is about withstanding against the huffing and the puffing of the big bad wolf. We have lost our focus, but we're going to bring it back into the into full perspective. Now, here's what I want us to understand. What the survey that Jesus had when he stopped and he wanted to find out, who do men say that I am? Do y'all understand, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is still asking that same question today. What do people say about who I am? Jesus still wants to know, not only what do people say that I am, but who is it that you say that I am? Who is he to you? Who is Jesus to you? Is he a Jesus just when you're in trouble? Is he a Jesus just when you need something? Is he a Jesus just because it sounds good? Or is he a Jesus just on Sunday? And then we forget about who he is on Monday through Friday. He wants to know, who do you say I am? But Simon looked at him in the eyes and they had this eye lock and they had this conversation. And the Lord spoke through Simon and the Lord spoke through the breath of Simon and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And now the structure of the church is ready to be built. The foundation is ready to be laid. And now he's going to make this handoff as if Paul and Peter were running track. Peter is now handing a baton to Paul, and Paul is now going to take it and run his leg of the race. This is why he said the race is not given to the swift or to the swarm, right? Because now he is running his leg of the race to now build the foundation of the church. And as Jesus said, upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So today, I wanted to give us a soft introduction into the first part of this series. And I want us to understand, as you see the next slide up on this morning, here's what Jesus says about you. You are who he says you are. You are who he says you are. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this season. Father God, less of us and more of you. Continue to order your steps, Lord, into our lives and use us for your purpose and your glory. Somebody is being delivered. Somebody is being set free. Somebody is really getting this word and they're serious about being used for your purpose and glory. And Lord, for that person, for those people, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for using me as a vessel, Lord, to do something new in this season in the name of Jesus, Lord. I ask that you just renew our mind, renew our strength, help us to open our hearts and receive your word in the name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you for the lives that will be touched, transformed, and delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to introduce the structure and we're going to talk about that because as you saw up on the slide, you are who he says you are. I don't know that we ever think about that. We know who Jesus is to us. But do we ever take time to think about who we are to him? Who are we to him? This is what I want us to understand. And who are we to him? What does he think about us? Who do he say we are? That's what we're going to talk about in this series. So the Apostle Paul has had his encounter and now he's on a mission because Jesus rerouted his GPS. He was living a life of darkness and now he was diverted back to the light. Think about a GPS for a second. When you miss your turn, you miss your exit. What does a GPS typically tell you? U-turn as soon as possible. Take the next left, take the next right. Why is that? Because you have to get back on your destination. And then sometimes traffic may happen or something may come up and you have to be rerouted. But the GPS has that purpose and that plan on where you need to go. And sometimes we have to go through some rerouting. We have to go through some U-turns. We have to go through some alternate routes. We have to dodge some debris on the road. We have to dodge some potholes on the road. We have to go through some things. So Paul was Saul at the time, going in one direction. And Jesus, the GPS of his life, had to reroute his direction. Somebody put that in the chat. Let Jesus reroute your direction. Yeah, put that in the chat. Let people see you be used as an e-vessel for God. Let Jesus reroute your direction. Amen for that. So as his direction was rerouted, he became the Apostle Paul. An apostle simply means, and I'm not going to get so colloquialized with my words to where I try to use all these big fancy words and all that. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. This is supposed to be simple. And okay, if we humble ourselves as a small child, okay, the smallest of children need to be able to understand these things. So I'm not trying to impress anybody. Okay, apostle simply means a church planter. Someone that plants a church. That's what it means. Okay, it's not some big fancy, you know, word that's so far beyond. No, just a church planter is what it means. Okay. I am Apostle Jeremy Glenn, if you want to be technically correct. Okay. So that's what it is. When you plant a church, that's what the apostle means. This is what Paul's ministry was all about. Planting different churches around the European, Asian, some of the Middle Eastern regions during that time. And the very first place, he went where it was deep. He went where it was strong. He went right into the gut of Julius Caesar and planted a church right dead smack in the middle of the Roman Empire. This is why Romans is the first of the epistles in the Bible. Okay? This is why Romans is the first epistle. And what is an epistle? Again, I'm going to break this down, okay? It just simply means a letter. He planted a church in Rome, Julius Caesar, and that whole Roman Empire, they caught wind of it, and Paul was banned from coming back to Rome. So he planted the church, got the structure built, okay? He had a Christian churches planted in Rome, and then what he did was he wrote this epistle called Romans to send a letter back to them just to encourage them and to remind them. And since Paul was not allowed to go back into Rome because he had a warrant out for his arrest, if you will, okay, they wanted to now persecute him, okay? The guy that was the big bad wolf is now being hunted like the little three pigs, right? That's what sometimes can happen because Jesus said that they're, okay, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. We got to be ready for that. That's a different sermon, a different time. But this is what happens, okay? So Paul was not allowed to go back into Rome. So he partnered with this young nurse by the name of Phoebe, and he sent Phoebe out there to deliver this epistle to the Roman church, okay? So he sent somebody that they wouldn't expect, okay? You wouldn't expect a nurse, and the word Phoebe means bright and vibrant, someone that's just full of joy and full of compassion and all of these things. They would have never thought somebody like Phoebe would be the one to actually deliver this epistle to the Roman people. Because like I said, when God needs to get his word out, when God needs to use something, when God needs to use somebody, he can use the least of them to get the largest of work done. That's right. He can use the least of us to get the work done. That's why Jesus went after the one sheep that re-diverted, because that one sheep could have been that Phoebe of the time to deliver his word. This is the reason why we shouldn't pass judgment on nobody. This is the reason why we should not think of ourselves more highly than we should. Because God will use the least of us to get the work done. Someone that you will never think in your life could be used to do some of the most magnificent things in the work of God. Okay? So this is how he was able to get this epistle to encourage the Roman people. He knew what they were going through. He knew that if they were caught practicing Christianity, they could be killed. As a matter of fact, it was some of that legislation that he wrote into place that was now being used to put them on the chopping block, if you will. Okay, so he understood that, and he understood the importance of being able to now send this word to him, to those people. Okay, and he knew that they needed that encouragement, that uplifting, not to give up, not to get weary in well doing. For in due season, he needed them to understand there would be a harvest. So what I want us to understand is I'm going to choose a couple of verses here in Romans chapter 8. And again, I'm going to take my time. You got to strap yourself down and get ready for this full meal. You need to hear the fullness of the word of God. Don't cut God short. If you spend more time watching a Super Bowl than you do getting the word of God, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you because you are conforming to the ways of this world. I'm serious about this here. We have allowed the world's message to kind of seep in and contaminate our spirits. But I speak against that right now in the name of Jesus. Don't move on. Listen to the fullness of this word. Okay? And if you have to leave, get back and listen to it again. This is why we record. This is why we're on YouTube. This is why these messages are recorded. I want you to listen to the fullness of this word so that you can know who he says you are. Okay? So in the book of Romans, what I want us to understand here, Romans 8 and 28, and you see the scripture up on the board right now, up on the slide right now. I feel like I'm in a classroom, up on the board right now. All right. What I want us to understand here is I'm coming from the New King James version of the Bible. And I want to just read a couple of scriptures for you here on this morning here that's going to talk about this. And we're going to pull up verse 29 later as we move on to this message. But right now, I just want you to look at Romans 8 and 28. Okay, and it says right here, and again, coming from the NKJV version, all right, and we know, he started that off with and, because there's so much more he's saying to these people, so now he's tying this in to a glorious point that he is trying to make to the Roman people, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I want that to sink in. And we know, okay, in addition to the things that we know, we're going to add this to what we already know. And we know all things work together in conjunction, in unison, as a team. And we know all things work together for the good to those who love God. You got to love them. You got to love them with all your heart. If you want things to work for the good, to those who are called according to his purpose. I synchronized those words like that for a reason, because I wanted you to understand when I hyphenate and synchronize and syncopate those words, I want you to understand there are so many different contexts in that word as we break it down. Okay? In addition to what we already know about God, all things work together. Okay? If you love him, because if you do, then you're called according to his purpose. That's the essential point of this word. Think about that. If you're in Rome right now, you can't practice Christianity like you like to. In China right now, they have passed legislation to stop Christians from practicing Christianity. They're being thrown in jail. They're being persecuted right now. Same thing more than 2,000 years later on is still going on in some nations. And then we don't want to get out of bed and go to church and worship the God that gives us the freedom that we have. Working together for the good. Can we minister to that person on the corner about how good God is? About the beauty of his love? About the time that he delivered you and all of those things that happened to you in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It worked together for the good. But some of us are too ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want it to work for us, but we don't want to work for it. We want the benefits of the gospel to work for us, but we don't want to work for it. My question is, what's stopping you? Why are you ashamed? If all things are going to work together for the good, then why wouldn't you tell somebody about that? Why wouldn't you want someone to see that and understand that? Why don't we know that and why don't we believe that? I'm going to challenge you on this series. Ladies and gentlemen, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Just as his purpose is not our purpose. And if you love him, you will align with God's purpose for your life. Let me rephrase that. The life that he has for you and for me. In other words, if you love him, and Jesus said that, first of all, he said the first thing that you should do, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Love him first. If you're loving him, if you love him, you will be aligned with the plans he has for you, as he tells us in Jeremiah 29 and 11. My favorite scripture is above my head, and I love that scripture right now because it helps us to understand that he has plans for you. Our job is to spend our life aligning with the plans that God has for us. And when we understand that, we will then be able to know that whatever it is that we're going through works together for the good. You see how Jeremiah 29 and 11 and Romans 8 and 28, they connect. This is the reason why he said, and we know all things work together for the good. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. Amen. All right. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit just drops dimes like that, y'all, it excites me. And some things, as you grow in God, you just can't write down. You can't articulate it or whatever. When the Holy Spirit speaks through, it is something remarkable. And I challenge all of you to spend that kind of time with God and let him reveal himself to you in a mighty way. So what I want us to understand here, as we get ready to put our next slide up, here's what I've learned about God. Our God is an if and then God. You can put that in the chat, text that to somebody, send them an email. It doesn't matter to me. Our God is an if and then God. What do you mean by that, Pastor Glenn? Well, let me tell you something. I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to explain that to you, my brothers and my sisters. Let me share with you about what I'm proclaiming when I say our God is an if and a then God. What I mean by this is simply found in his word, We Talk Radio. For instance, he tells us, and as you see in John 14 and 15, if you love me, then keep my commandments. If you love me, not a guarantee that you will, but just in case you decide that you do, if you love me, then keep my commandments. This is an if and then structure. So in other words, don't just tell me you love me on Valentine's Day tomorrow and send me chocolates and roses and all kinds of good perfumes and all that kind of stuff. Then come February 15th, you forgot about it. This is why I say every day should be a love day. And if it takes February 14th for you to understand love, again, I'm going to pray for you. Because that is the world's message. I'm not knocking it, but I want us to understand, if we're not careful, we can conform to the ways of this world and we'll allow the world to tell us what type of gospel to be able to follow. And it should be the other way around. Don't show me just on one day that you love me. What Jesus is saying is, when I protected you from that car wreck that could have took you out, don't act like you love me then. And then after you get your healing and after the insurance claim has come through and all things are back smelling like roses, then you forgot about who protected you. He's saying, okay, I delivered you from something that could have taken you out, and you were as saved as all get out when you thought that your life was about to end and this was about to take you out. And then once you get back to your February 15th, you forgot about the love you told me you had. This is what I want us to understand. So if, he's saying, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Not just sometimes, but make it a lifestyle to keep my commandments. He is an if and a then God. So this is what I want us to understand now. Now, he's an if and an then God. And I want to put that slide up here. He's an if and a then God. I want that to sink and I want that to soak into your spirit. Because I want us to know that there is an if in everything that we do. We have to make the first move in this relationship. We have to make the first move in this relationship. Yes, he already loved us first. But there is some action that we have to take in order to align with the love that's already given to us. You plant the seed first, and then he'll do the growing. You dig up and drop that seed in the ground, he will do the growing. But you have to execute your if. Put that in the chat. I need to hear that again when I'm looking at this later on tonight. You have to execute the if first. You have to execute the if first. You got to do the if. You have to take the actions of the if. Put that in your own words. I just need to be reminded. Y'all are ministering to me now. I need to be reminded. You have to do the if first. Now, another thing that he tells us about him being an if and a then God, we're going to put up this scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I'm coming from the New International Version, okay? So here's another if and then God that God is telling us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then, and I stop for a reason, then, do you see the if? If you will turn away from all of these things, in other words, if you will stop being the big bad wolf, I can then use you as a little pig to do the things that I need for you to do. Okay? That's what he's saying. If my people who are called by my name, and I'm going to talk about the name here in just a little bit, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Again, you plant the seed first, he'll do the growing. He is an if and then God. Now, there are several scriptures that I could continue to show us and exegete on this morning, but I just wanted to highlight those just to let us know and understand there is work to be done and we have to execute the if. But I want us to understand, and I think that we're getting it now. We're going to now, what we're going to do is we're going to move by faith and take the action first so that we can, he can meet us wherever we are, whatever it is that we need. Remember, if we want to grow financially, then we've got to plant some seeds. If we want to grow spiritually, we've got to invest the time. If we draw near to him first, then he'll draw near to us. God is waiting on you to execute your if. Oh, God is speaking on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Maybe the problem sometimes is that we got a problem with the if. Maybe it's a problem sometimes that we're a little weak in the if. So I want us to understand something. If we, here's the next slide that we're gonna put up here. If your if is weak, you need to turn your if into a do. If your if is weak, you need to turn your if into a do. Ladies and gentlemen, the if is up to you. I'm going to say that again. The if is up to you. If my people, if you love me, if you do these things, there are benefits that will align with you. Those are the plans that God is talking about. This is a structure that God has in place. Okay? And I'm slowing down because I want us to get this. My heart and my passion is that the people of God understands we are very weak in our if. We're comfortable with church flow. We're comfortable with all these things. And sometimes we can't separate a secular from the gospel. There's supposed to be a thing called sanctification, which separates us from the ways of this world. And we have allowed our if to get so weak that the enemy is coming in with a stronger blow that we're becoming wiped out little by little. It is time for us to build our if. It is time for us to get our strength back up. It is time for us to understand the authority that Jesus has given us, because if we would just exercise our if, the execution could be so much greater. That's what I want us to know. So if your if is weak, you need to turn your if into a do. If your if is weak, how do you know it's weak? What execution are you doing? How effective are you? On your job, do they know who you serve? Out in public, do they know who you serve? I'm about to get on a plane on Tuesday morning, and I promise you, I am looking to execute my if. Whoever's about to sit next to me on this 3-hour flight, they're about to get some if. They are about to get some word. They are about to get something, because my job is to make sure I add value to people by spreading the gospel, and somebody's about to get 3 hours full of an if from me. I can tell you that right now, and their life is never going to be the same. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to be doers when it comes to loving God. Joining this church is not just to say you join a church, not just to have a place to call church. All of that's great, but there is some work to be done. And I heard somebody say one time, God ain't interested in no lazy Christians. Everybody that God used was a worker. Noah built that ark. He ain't built an ark before. Noah wasn't no skilled carpenter, but he was led by God, and he allowed his if to become a do. Okay? Ezekiel. All right. I mean, his will. I mean, think about it. Elijah. Okay. The double portion that God had given them, all of these things. Okay. And we know Jesus. Okay. I mean, everything that God did through anybody, it was somebody that executed their if, somebody that took action, somebody that walked, that did, that ministered, that served, that did all of that stuff there. And we've become so comfortable and we've allowed our if to become weak. So what Paul is telling the Roman church in 8:28, if you love God first, all things will work together for the good according to his purpose that he has for you. Not what you have for you, but what he has for you. Amen? Some of us think that everything that goes on, oh yeah, it's working together for the good. No, specifically, if you love him, and you align with his purpose that he has for you, that's what's going to work together for the good. This is about God's purpose, not your purpose. If you decide that you want to hit the lottery, don't think that, oh, well, all things going to work together for the good so I can hit this lottery. If that ain't God's purpose and plan for you, you can't expect it to work together for the good. This is what I want us to understand. And this is how reading the word sometimes can get so misunderstood, because we don't break it down and really understand the context of what the word is saying. But God says that he has teachers. He's got preachers, okay, that are going to break this down and help us to understand the word of God. So he's always got a ram in the bush, because the enemy works off of confusing us. Okay, he wants to contort our minds and help us to not understand things. Okay, and that's the reason why he's always trying to attack me, attack our systems, attack so many things, because he knows that when we understand our if is weak, oh, hell is going to be in trouble. Hell is going to be intimidated. When we understand the authority that we have, hell is going to be bothered. Hell is already bothered. And I just want us to understand what the word of God means and how we are to apply it in our lives. Amen. Amen. So when we read the word, and we're getting ready to now go into our next scripture here. That was Romans 28. Yeah, we got all that out of Romans 28. Well, just wait on 29. Now, Romans 8:29, pull up Romans 8:29 for us here so we can read it together. And Romans 8:29, I'm coming again from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Not conformed to the ways of this world, conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. I'm going to read that again. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Okay, and when you hear the word brethren in the Bible, okay, the word is referring to the people of God, those that congregated, brethren of the church. Okay, that's when you hear brethren, that's what he's talking about. All right, and that's who is a call, that is who's called according to God's purpose. The brethren of God is who's called according to his purpose, and that's what I want us to understand. Okay, and again, this is the guy, Paul, that's writing this epistle. All right, that's being sent to the Roman church. Okay, this is the guy that persecuted Christians. This was the guy that was on the other side of the fence. This is the guy that was the big bad wolf and now had a transformation that made him the little piggy pig pig. So I want us to understand the work that had to be done and the transformation of this process. The work that Paul had to do to convince people that he was no longer the big bad wolf. We don't talk about that a lot. But there was a lot of work done before these epistles could be written. He had to let them know he was no longer huffing and puffing. He was now in that shelter with them to make sure the big bad wolves wasn't blowing them down. This is why we can refer to Paul as the greatest Christian of all time. Because not only did he build the structure, look at everything that he had to go through. Look at everything that he had to experience. Look at everything that he had to go through. And this is the reason why he would say things like, I am convinced. Okay, he would say things like, you'll do best by thinking on those things. He would say these things because he understood the before and the after. when he had to apply these things, he had to apply these principles. Now he was equipped and he was ready to now talk about what it takes to get to the next level. We don't talk about that a lot, but he had to make sure people understood he was no longer the big bad wolf. We had to make sure that he understood that now I'm on your side. We're teammates now. And they had to take some time to learn. This is why I say structure has to take time. We don't know how many years that was from when he had, that encounter with Jesus before the first epistle went out. I mean, I'm sure I could research and find that, but think about all the work that was done just to get people to understand that he's now on their team. You know, a lot of you know I'm a sports person here. And again, I'm taking my time. I don't know how long this word is going to last. But I go back to when Michael Jordan, and some of you know I'm a big Michael Jordan fan, and some of you are arguing with Michael being the GOAT versus LeBron James and different ones or whatever. I'm a Michael Jordan guy. Ain't nothing you can tell me about Mike. Yeah, I wanted to be like Mike, okay? It was all about the shoes. It was all about all of that, right? He was just a great guy, and you wanted to associate with greatness. And that's what we saw in him. And the team that gave Michael Jordan the most problem as he was in the highlight of his career were the Detroit Pistons, the bad boy Pistons, okay? The big bad wolf, if you will, right? And I remember talking about Paul being a big bad wolf and now having to become a little pig. I remember in the second tenure of Michael Jordan after he retired and came back, there was this guy by the name of Dennis Rodman, one of the greatest players of all time, one of the greatest rebounders, a guy that did the dirty work. When Dennis Rodman came to the Chicago Bulls, he went from being the big bad wolf to now being on the same team. Do we not understand how it took a guy like Michael Jordan to really humble himself, to welcome a guy that used to beat him across the head when he'd go up for a layup? The guys that had it out for them, that was their biggest nemesis and problem. Now he had to become teammates with this person because they had one ultimate goal on mind, and that was winning three more championships and as many as they could. So Paul had to let the Christians know at that time, listen, I'm on your team and we have a goal to achieve. We have to press on toward the mark. We have some work to be done, and I'm here to help us structure this work and to go forth because we got championships in mind. We have, yeah, I used to be the big bad wolf, but let me understand. Now I'm on your side, and now we've got an agenda. We've got something to do. We've got people to save. I'm dodging these same bullets. I'm on your team now. And this was one of the toughest things that Paul had to do. And not only that, but man, I'm telling you, the most dynamic form of evangelism, of the Christian structure of the world is coming out of these Pauline letters, the epistles of Paul. And this is the reason why we refer to him as the GOAT, the greatest Christian of all time. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived. Someone that was one of the more inspiring people because he was on both sides of the fence. And that is the definition of gospel. Because I'm going to divert a little bit because I feel led to now talk about why the gospel is so important. The gospel represents transformation. If there is no transformation, there is no gospel. The whole purpose, Soil Church, for us to be the entity that we are is to see lives change. To see transformation from someone that was a big bad wolf to now becoming a little piggy pig pig. That's what it represents. Paul had one of the greatest transformations to ever live. It don't get worse than someone that wanted to kill the purpose and principle that you had to now executing that and taking it to another level. This is, and if he can do it for Paul, young man, he can do it for you. Young girl, he can do it for you. It's nothing too hard for the transformation to happen and to manifest into your life, because if it happened to a guy by the name of Saul and he became Paul, it can happen to you. Yes, you dope dealer. Yes, you prostitute. Yes, you gambler, you fornicator, whatever it is. And I don't care. I'm using these titles because I'm speaking transformation into somebody's life, because you don't think that this gospel is for you. You don't think that the word of God can help deliver you. I'm here to tear down that wall and to let you know right now, the gospel is so pure. The gospel is so real. The gospel is so strong. The gospel is so potent. It meets us where we are. I don't care where you are in your life. It will change your life. You're looking at somebody that's experienced a change. And if he can change me, he can change you. I got a whole lot of notes here to talk about. But right now, I feel led in my spirit to convince someone, to let them know he can change you. He can transform your life. He can, I don't care what it is, whatever that stronghold is, whatever that you're experiencing right now, nothing is too hard for that God to change into your life. This is what this is all about. It's not about how many concert tickets I can sell. It ain't about how many people can show up to a conference. It ain't about all these other things that's been contorted and contaminated and reconformed and structured that we call church on today. This is about simple transformation. This is about how God can change you in your mind. He said to be ye transformed. Okay, he's all about transform. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be changed. Go dip into the Jordan 7 times. Okay, lay hands on the sick. Okay, bringing sight to the blind. This is what this is all about. And we have gotten the word wrong. But we got to go back to pure evangelism in the word of God. We have to go forth and proclaim the gospel. We have to go back and make disciples of all men. We have to go back and let God know how he changed us in our life, how he transformed us in our life. And that word is so strong, even more than 2,000 years later, it can still do the changing. And I want us to understand that's what this is all about. So when God says in Romans 8 and 29, for whom he foreknew, he already knew you. He also predestined to be conformed, to be changed, to be morphed into the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many. This is what I want us to understand. It is all our job to be conformed into the image of Jesus. And this is what the simple gospel is all about. Changing into Jesus. Changing into being Christ. Being seated at the right hand next to Christ. Okay? When we abide in him, he abides in us. That's what this is all about. And unfortunately, we have gotten the word wrong. This is what I want us to understand here. In Jeremiah 1 and 5, in the New King James Version of the Bible, this is what he says, that before I formed you in the womb, I already knew you. Who does he say you are? He's saying that he already knew you. He's saying that he already knew what your life was going to be like. He's saying he already knew you were going to have a road to Damascus moment and experience in your life. So what are you running for? What are you dodging? What are you trying to get away for? What I want us to understand is in this text here, what I want us to understand, I want to talk about a particular word. That word conform is sticking out to me here. That word conform is sticking out to me here. And I want to put the definition up as I get ready to close. I want to put the definition of the word conform. And as you see on the slide here, thanks for staying with me here, Eric. I know we've been all over the place here, but thank you for being in position and thank you for what you do. Merriam-Webster states that when something is conformed, this means to be similar or to the same as something. When something is conformed, this means to be similar or the same as something. So when we read in Romans 8 and 29, what he wants us to understand about this text is that he's going to change the dynamic of how you see the rest of your life when you become conformed into the image of his son. You need to put in the text there and say, you look like Jesus. You need to tell somebody, you look like Jesus. Do they see Jesus in you? Do they know that you're walking with the Master? Do they know that Jesus is in your life? Do you look like Jesus? Does somebody see Jesus in you? Does somebody see the way that you walk with a different walk? Does somebody see the way that you talk with a different talk? Can they know who you are because of your love for him? He said that in his word, they will know you are my disciples by your love. Who are you loving? And do you love who you said you should love? Now, let's take a look at the next slide here as we're moving on. And because what I want us to understand about the word conform, before you or anyone could say who you are, he already said you're him first. Again, do you look like Jesus? Do you look like your namesake? Before you or anyone could say who you are, he already said you're him first. This is why he said conform to the image of his son, who's the firstborn. First. This is why you have to know who he says you are. You were predestined to be conformed into his image. I'm sorry, you thought this was all about you. Newsflash, this is all about him. And this is how things will work together for the good when you know that it's all about his purpose, his glory, for the life that he has for you. You were predestined, ladies and gentlemen, to be like Christ. Genesis 1 says that God says, let us make man in our image. The image of Christ. The image of who we should be conformed to. You see how everything connects? This is how it works. Now, the next slide that we have up here says, your image is like him, but when you turn your if into a do, you are of him. Hallelujah. Thank you for that word, Lord. Your image is like him, but when you turn your if into a do, you are of him. So here's what I want us to understand. You're predestined to look like him. Here's the deal. Whether you like it or not, you look like Jesus. I don't care what the science books tell you. I don't care about what mankind did to choose this image and all that kind of stuff. Listen, this is what God did. This is the image that God chose. And if you look like him, you walk like him, you talk like him, you are him. So you might as well accept him. You can't get away from it. You're him. You can't get away. You look like him. You can't get away from it. You talk like him. You walk like him. So guess what? Just accept the fact that you are him and he is in you. Next thing I want us to understand, if you really want to live up to your ultimate purpose in life, you must choose the life that he predestined for you. If you make the decision to do this, then you will experience abundant life that Jesus came to give us. How do you want to experience abundant life? Turn your if into a do. It's really that simple. He came to give us life more abundantly if you choose whom you will serve, right? Choose union today whom you will serve, right? Take on Jesus. Take on his love. Follow his commandments. If you follow his commandment, that means you love him. Okay, all of those things go hand in hand. This is how you experience abundant life, that life that he has for you, that Jeremiah 29 and 11, to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. All of that's part of the benefit for turning your if into a do. What the Apostle Paul wants us to understand is that we are here for God's purpose, as I've said, and the plan that he has for our lives. God wants us to know that we, the brethren, the people of God, the brethren, once we realize this and we begin to understand this, we will know that we are who he says that we are. We are who he says we are. I'm going to make a last point here, and I'm going to kind of connect this with the message here on this morning that, you know, my wife and I, we were just looking at this recent documentary on the life and the professional career of Janet Jackson. I thought it was very interesting, very appealing, some of the things that she shared with the world. And sometimes we see celebrities and sometimes we see people, but we never really know and understand what it is that they're really going through. And one of the things I pulled from that docuseries is that she spent most of her career trying to separate herself from what made her who she was, which was the last name, Jackson. And everything that came with being affiliated with that particular last name. Regardless to how far she excelled in her career, the repercussions of her last name, whether good or bad, would follow her regardless to how high or how low she was in her career. That image that was conformed represented her as well. And some of us would just know that we have God's last name and stop trying to get away from who we really are. We could go from living a life on unleaded fuel. We can receive the benefits of living a life with premium gas and go beyond what we can think or ask, because we're him. We look like him. We walk like him. We talk like him. And he gave us his last name, and his last name is Christ. How about that, right? Jesus said his name is Jesus Christ. And Peter called him, you are the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And when you take on his name and you take on his lifestyle, you are a Christian. So my name is Jeremy Christ. Your name is whatever your first name is, Christ. That is your last name. Are you representing the last name the way that you should? Are you representing that last name when you go to the grocery store? Are you representing that last name when you go to school, when you go to work, and wherever you are? Who is it that you think that you are? You are who he says you are. It's time for us to know, ladies and gentlemen, who we are, and to know whose we are, and to stop being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gave us an image. He gave us a last name. He gave us a structure, and he gave us a destiny. He gave us a purpose. He gave us a plan. He gave us all of these things because you are who he says you are. My question on the day before I close out this message, and you can see our last one, our last slides up on this morning. How are you carrying his last name? How are you representing the one that gave you his image? Do you realize how much God thinks about you to give you his last name? I'm going to leave this final thought with you before I close out. And I want you to, and I just want to, listen, I want to thank you. I know this was a little bit longer than normal, but I want to thank you for tuning into this message right here. But my main point, I'm going to put one more slide up on this morning. And our main point is, I would much rather submit to the purpose of God and allow all things to work together for the good than to live by my own purpose and outside of the will and protection of God. I'm going to read that again. I want that to stay up because I want that to soak into your spirit. I would much rather submit to the purpose of God and allow all things to work together for the good than to live by my own purpose and outside of the will and protection of God. When a structure is being built, it has to be able to provide protection from the winds, the storms, and the rain. This is called a covering. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to have a series called The Covering, because I want us to understand when a structure is built, it serves a purpose to represent a covering. Okay, and I want us to understand, we're going to talk about that very soon. But as we're building the structure of our church, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our time and we're going to build it right the first time. So when the big bad wolf comes to huff and puff and try to blow this church and the structure and everything that we have down, our structure is built with a storm in mind. Because we know the last name that we carry. Because we know the purpose and the plan that he has for us in our life. And we can stand against the winds of the big bad wolf. Now, I'm not trying to engage in speed as we build this ministry. I'm trying to engage and build the strength of our structure. But we have to know our purpose. We have to know who we are. We have to know where we're going. Because remember, the leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And I want us to get our if built. We need to turn our if into execution. We need to get the strength of our if up, because there's execution and work to be done. And we want to make sure we get the structure of this ministry right the first time. As I close, this is what that one little pig did that took his time and got it right the first time, because he built his house out of stone. I'm sorry, he built his house upon this rock. I'm sorry, he built his house out of brick. And he wanted to make sure he was prepared to get it right the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, as I close, we're called according to the purpose of God. And all things are going to work together for our good. We are conformed to the image of his son, and we carry his last name, and we want to represent that last name the right way. And regardless, as you see our last and final slide up on this morning, regardless to what anyone else says about who you are, the most important thing that I want you to understand, you are who he says you are. You are, in fact, who he says you are. Someone needs to know who he's saying that you are. Someone needs to know you didn't realize your real last name is Christ. Hallelujah. Someone needs to know that maybe you thought that your life was too different and your life was just, it was too far gone. But do you know that Jesus would reach down into the Sea of Galilee and pull you out with his grip of grace? And regardless to how far you have sank, his grace will save you. His grip will save you. He will pull you out and he will give you a name change, just like he did for Simon, just like he did for Saul. He will turn your name to whatever it is and add Christ to the last of your name. You need to know that once Jesus changes your name, your life will in fact never be the same. I want to pray for you on this moment, because he gave you a purpose and a plan, and you have work to do. The world has made you get your work. It's made you think your life is being twisted and contorted and all these other things. And you're running over here. You're running over there. You're trying to fit in with this group over there. You're trying to do all these things. You're trying to get impress these groups over here. Impress these people over here. You're trying to do all this stuff. Wait a minute. Do you not know that you are who he says that you are? There's only one person to impress. There's only one person that's going to be your judge. There's only one person that is watching who you are. And do you know whose last name that you carry? You need to know that you are who he says you are. It's not about what anybody else says that you are. Heavenly Father, Lord, that person, somebody just got free on today. They didn't intend to tune into this message, but you led them here. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. They didn't realize that they carry your last name. They didn't realize, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan for them. They thought it was all about them. But they received a word on today that this life is about you. You said that the things will work together for the good according to your purpose and plan. And you said that we are to conform into the image of your son. Thank you for your word on today, Lord. Thank you for this series. Thank you for everything that you're doing in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that somebody is free. Somebody gets to know what their last name represents. Their last name represents goodness, kindness, mercy. It represents love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Your last name is something amazing. And we need to know that. We need to be reminded of that. So for that person, whoever you are, you've lived a life of sin, but let me tell you something. He will clean you. Unlike anybody else can clean you. The reason why Jesus washed the dusty feet of the disciples was to represent a cleansing. Because dirt, this world, dirt has access to you. And the foot washing represents the cleansing that will take place. When you allow him to place your feet in the basin of salvation, he will wash you white as snow. He will cleanse everything that you've been through. For that person, whoever you are, I want you to say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I need you to just cleanse my mind, because that's where the battle starts. Cleanse my mind, renew my mind, strengthen my mind. Help me to have a mind of Christ. Help my mind to represent the last name. Give me a new mind. Give me a new image. Give me a new life. I believe that you died and that you rose on the third day with all of the magnificent power and all of the glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, my life is yours. I'm going to represent your last name the right way. I am who you say I am, Lord, and I will do the work that you've called for me to do. Lord Jesus, help me to just learn you, to read your word, to understand your word, and to plant myself into the soil so that I can grow in the word of God. If that was you, I want you to know, I want to first thank you for giving your life to God. This ain't about nothing else. This is about you giving your life to God. This is about you coming close to the Savior. This is about you understanding the real purpose of your last name. And this is about you knowing that you are who, in fact, he says that you are. This is about nothing else, nobody else. Don't feel ashamed about the name that you carry. Don't feel ashamed about who he is to you. Don't feel ashamed about nothing that you did. I'm talking to you. Don't feel ashamed about nothing that you have done. Because Jesus bore that on the cross. Jesus shed blood for whatever it was that you went through, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're feeling, okay? Whatever it is that you're going through, his blood will wash that away. And right now, I just want to encourage you to stay close. If you've dedicated it, shoot me a note, send me an email, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Okay, D-mail me, text me, email me, whatever it is. I just want to be able to stay connected with you, give you some encouragement. And I just want you to know that you're on a team. You've got a last name that's one of the greatest names ever. Because at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. The name of Jesus, you've got authority. The name of Jesus, you can do wonderful things. Because remember, unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to that power that he gives you, that power. I'm trying to stop that wonder-working power, that last name power, that image of his son power, that power that's beyond any other power in his world, in this world. You have access to that now. And it is now time for you to realize that. Go forth and now make disciples of all men. Join me. I'm going to be your coach to help you execute that purpose in your life. We're going to have some meetings coming up for those of you that want to join this ministry. We're going to have a Zoom meeting coming up very soon. And I'm going to just talk to you about the vision of our church, the ministry of our church, the pillars of our church, all of that. We're going to have a town hall meeting because it's time for us to understand we've got to build the strength of our team. We've got to build the strength of our structure. And I'm going to be reaching out to a lot of you here that want to be a part of this because you've been sitting in the soil for a while now. The seed has been planted. The cultivating has taken place. Now it's time for some fruit. Okay, to start showing. It's time for some fruit to start showing. It's time to be fruitful and to multiply. It's time to go forth and to now do the works. It's time to turn that if into a do. So more to come. I'll be reaching out to you guys and just know that it's coming very soon because we're getting ready to move into the next phase. But listen, right now, before you hang up, listen, this has been good. You know this word has been good. I will stand flat-footed and bold-faced and tell you I know this word has been good. Now show God that this word is good. Show God how this has ignited your spirit. Show God how you become motivated and that you've been blessed and you've been inspired and you've been encouraged. Here are some ways to show God. We've got an app called Givelify, all right? The app called Givelify here. Pull us up, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Show God your thank you for this word, okay? Yeah, this word, it did something for you. Show God how much you appreciate it. Givelify. Then also on Zelle, you can send that to us on Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Pull us up on Zelle. It is the email address is info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Okay. And cashier's checks only if you're going to send to our P.O. box. Cashier's checks only if you're going to send to the P.O. box 180972 Arlington, Texas 76096. But I'll tell you the easiest way. The simplest way, those two options right there, Givelify, Zelle. I appreciate everything that you guys do. And for those that have given in to this ministry, whether you've given one time, several times, whatever it is, I want to thank you because every seed matters, okay? Your seed matters. Eric, see if we can put that in the chat real quick here. Put that on there. Your seed matters. I want you to understand. I don't care how much it is. I don't care what you're doing. Before we go into prayer, I want you to know something. Your seed matters, okay? Your seed matters regardless to the amount. regardless of how much it is. See if we can put that across there. I want y'all to understand that. I want you to see it. Somebody put it in the chat. Your seed matters, okay? That's in my heart. That's in my spirit. I want you to understand that. Thank you. Your seed matters. Heavenly Father, that seed that's mattered, that's being planted on today, Lord, I speak a hundredfold return on that seed, Lord. There is a need for every seed and a seed for every need. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for meeting us where we are. Grow it, Lord. Take it to another level. Nurture it, cultivate it. Let it do remarkable things, Lord, to be used, Lord Jesus, to go forth and to make disciples, to go forth and to be used according to your purpose and your glory. I speak a hundredfold return. You said, press down, shaken together, runneth over, Lord. On good measure, on good ground. This is good ground. I'm seeing testimonies, Lord. I'm hearing people that are sowing into this ministry, how so many wonderful things are happening to them in their life. Lord, I thank you for it. Thank you for where you're taking us. Thank you for where you're growing us. Thank you for everything that you're doing in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for the transforming of lives, the transforming of the renewing of the minds, the transforming of so many things, Lord. The enemy wants us to think that so much is going on. And yes, I understand people are losing their lives. I understand things are happening around. I understand all of that. But Lord, you're doing wonderful things. And we're not going to ignore the things that you're doing because of the roaring of the lion, the roaring of the lion. Nope, you are greater than any roar. You said it, Lord, that yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not death itself, but the shadow of death, we won't fear any evil because you are with us. And we thank you for the ability to give seeds, Lord. You said you will give seed to the sower. And I want to thank you for everybody sowing into this ministry in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you so much. And Lord, as we get ready to close out, be with us, Lord, those that are traveling, everywhere that we are, everywhere that we go, cover us with your shield of protection, Lord. Protect us from danger seen and unseen. Keep us, Lord Jesus, in perfect peace with our minds stayed on you. In the mighty, beautiful, magnificent name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you. And every Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday because every Sunday is a Word of God Sunday. Hey, thank y'all for your time. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back here next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there. Have a fantastic day, folks, and we'll see you soon. Take care.